Begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos daf Samach Beis. We begin on the top line of the Yom. The Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, which is regarding the proper conduct and behavior that a person should have in the lavatory, in the bathroom, and specifically regarding the direction, and especially in regard to the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, who we're going to mention the incident with Rabbi Kiva, that was mentioned on the bottom of the previous daf, that Rabbi Kiva held that the proper conduct in the bathroom, especially regarding the direction, that it shouldn't be facing towards the Har Bayis, towards the Beis HaMikdash, is even in Chutzlar, it's even in Bavel, even far away, and that applies even today, even if the Shechin is not there anymore, so to speak, on the Beis HaMikdash. So Tanya, you learn that Braisa. I'm Rabbi Kiva. Kiva said, Pamachas nechnasti achar Rabbi Yeshua Beis HaKizi. One time, I followed Rabbi Yeshua into the bathroom. And this incident took place in Yehuda, in Judea. But Lamadati Mimenu Gimel Dvarim, and I learned from him three different things. One, Lamadati Shein Niftan Mizrach Ma'ariv El Tzav Medarim. One, that I learned from him that you don't relieve oneself from east to west, rather from north to south, and that is because in Yehuda, that was a problem that would have been facing towards the Beis HaMikdash, and that is wherever you are, you should not be relieving yourself, both in revealing yourself in the front and the back, that it shouldn't be facing the Har Bayis. Second, I learned from him, Lamadati Shein Nifran Me'umed El Miyeshev, that one does not defecate, one does not relieve the waste standing, rather only sitting, and that is the proper tznius, the modesty that's necessary in the bathroom. And third of all, and I learned that one does not wipe himself from the waste that he relieved with his right hand, only with his left hand. So Amalei Benazi said to Bekiva, Adkan he'az tepenecha b'rabach. That's how brazen you were to your teacher. In other words, you had so much azas to go and look at your teacher when he was relieving himself in the bathroom. So the answer, it's Torah, and that I had to learn. I had to know what the proper halach is and how to conduct myself in this world. And that although it's something that a person does in privacy, this was something that I had to know, the actual halach l'maisa. So Tanya, you learn the braisa that Benazai, who he was the one that told Rabbi Kiva this thing, one time I followed Rabbi Kiva into the bathroom, that again, Rabbi Kiva l'shitasa held that you could do that. So Benazai was makabah him, and he followed him into the bathroom. But the Lamadati Mimenu Gimel Dvarim, I learned from him three things. One, Lamadati Shein Niftan Mizrach Ma'ariv El Tzav Medarim. One I learned is that one does not defecate facing east to west, rather only north to south. That way you will not be revealing yourself facing the Har Bayis, the Beis HaMikdash. Second of all, Lamadati Shein Nifran Me'umed El Miyushev, that one does not relieve himself, one does not defecate standing, rather only sitting. And third of all, Lamadati Shein Mekan Chabimin El Bismol, I learned that you don't wipe yourself with your right hand, you only wipe yourself with the left hand. And that is that although he already heard these halachos from Akiva, is Einu Demish Milariyah, he wanted to learn it Tashmish, he wanted to have that Shimush, so to speak, to go ahead and learn it directly from seeing if Rabbi Kiva, that is actually how he conducts himself. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda told to Benazai, Adkana Azta Benecha Brabach, you had so much Azza, so much, you were so brazen for your Rabbi Rabbi Kiva to go ahead and follow him into the bathroom. So he so to speak, repeated what Rabbi Kiva had told to him, Amalai, Tyra he says, look, it's Tyra, and I have to learn it. And that is, again, we obviously see that he was makabel from his Rabbi, Rabbi Kiva, and that is, although it's something that's very private, to learn the halacha, it's necessary to do that. Similar type of incident, the Gemara brings the Rav Kahana, Al Gona Tusi Puri the Rav. Rav Kahana went in, and he went, and he lay down under the bed of Rav. So Shammai, so he heard him, at the time when he was having Tashma Shamita. The Sach, at first he spoke, the Sachak, and then he laughed, the Asatrachav, and then he took care of his needs. And that is that first he spoke and he laughed, he joked around with his wife, just Tam Shmuzerai, you know, just to get her in the mood, so to speak. And then he took care of his deeds. He was Meshabash his Mita, he had intercourse. So Amalei, Rav Kahana was under the bed. He says, Dami Pumi da Abba, could delay Sarf Tafshila. He says, it seems like the mouth of Abba never swallowed any food. It was a euphemism to say, like a hungry person, like as if you never had intercourse in your life, that you have so much levity and you're so excited to fulfill your taiva. You know, what's going on? So Amalei, so Rav said, Kahana, Hocha At, Kahana, you're here, you're under my bed. Puk, get out. The Lav Urchar, it's not proper to be here. So Amalei says to Rav Kahana, told him, Torah he v'lim ha'nitzach, it's Torah, and I have to learn. And that's the halacha they learn from me, that that's the proper conduct a person should have at Tashma Shemita, that one has to be meratze his isha and actually do the things that Rav had done. But what we see from these Gemaras are that it's a certain like professionals and doctors that when, although there are certain things that people would not do or reveal to regular people, when it comes to professionals, they do it. And it's not considered improper. Same way also, we have to understand in that context that although these things were private things, But in the context of professionalism, it's not. And that's what it is regarding the professionalism of Torah, to know exactly what is that proper halacha. The tzidkus of these Talmid Chacham were that it wasn't something of deviance, but it was something to learn how one must conduct themselves in all facets of their life. So now the Gemara goes back to we mentioned that they had learned from following the other Talmid Chacham into the bathroom that one does not wipe himself with his right hand, rather with his left hand. So the Gemara asks, "Mimnei ma ein mekanchem biyamin al bismah? Why is it that one cannot wipe himself with his right hand and only with the left hand?" So the Gemara gives a few explanations for this. Amar Rava, Rava says, "Mimnei shad Torah nitna biyamin, because since the Torah was given, so to speak, with Hashem's right hand, shnemar, like it says in the pasuk, mi minoy, from his right hand, eishdas lamai, was a fire of law that he gave to them. So therefore, since the Torah was given the right hand, it's not proper to use the right hand to go ahead and wipe oneself after relieving himself." Rabbi Bachana, he gives a different shot. Because the right hand is the one that's closest to the mouth. That is, it's usually the hand that's used to be eating, and therefore, if you're going to be used it, it might get excrement, and therefore it's not proper to use that hand, because that's the hand that goes ahead and feeds the mouth. He says a third pshat. Because the right hand is the one that's used to tie the tefillin on the left hand, and therefore, since it's used to tie the tefillin on the left arm, it's not fitting to use that same act of using those fingers for wiping oneself. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Gomer, he gives a fourth pshat. Because those are the fingers that are used to point and show the notes of the Torah, and that is when they would, so to speak, do according to the niggun, they would with the different cantillations. So that Rashi says that's what he saw by those who would read, those who came from Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, since that's the finger that's used to, so to speak, point at the notes, that's why it's not fitting to use those same fingers for wiping oneself. So the Gemara says, Ketanoi, this is a machlekes tanoim, that Beleza imim nesha eichabar. Beleza says, the reason why you can't use the right hand to wipe is because that's the hand that's used to eat with. Yibishua imim nesha kaisibar. Yibishua says it's because that's the hand that's used to write Sefer Torah and mezuzahs and Divrei Torah. Kiva imim nesha marabar tamei Torah. Yibishua says because that's the hand that's used to show, to point at the notes that's used for the Torah. And that says we have five different shatim why one is not supposed to wipe himself with the right hand, rather with the left hand. One is because the Torah was given with the right hand. Second one is because the right hand is the one that's closest to the mouth. It's the one that usually puts food there. Third one is because the right hand is the one that's used to tie on the tefillin on the left arm. Fourth part is because that's the fingers that are used to show the time at Torah. And the fifth one is because that's the hand that's used to write Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzahs, and that's why it's not proper to use that hand in wiping oneself. So the Gemara continues on this topic about having tznius, about being modest in the bathroom, and that there are halachas that designate exactly how we should even conduct ourselves when we're relieving ourselves. Whoever is modest in the lavatory, he's saved from three different things. From snakes, from scorpions, from demons. And that is that all these three different things, if a person that conducts himself with tznius, and that he goes in calm and he's quiet, so then the snakes, they don't realize that he's there, do something dangerous to him. And also the mazik and the demons that hang around these type of places, they also have rachmanis on him if he acts modestly. And the yeshem, some say, even his dreams are calming on him, and that is that he doesn't have mazikin who, so to speak, were bothered the way he conducted himself in the bathroom. These demons don't come and bother him in his dreams. So the Gemara brings a story that Ahu Beis Akisei Dav Betrei, there was this lavatory that was in Tveria. He have Ailu Betrei Afila B'mama Mitzke, that even when there were two people go at the same time, and even by day, they would get harmed by the Shadim, and that is usually, day is definitely better than night, and two people for sure usually don't get harmed. But in a place where that the Mazikin, they hang around, there even two people could get harmed, and that is, this was such a bathroom that the demons were known to, so to speak, it was their domain. Reb Ami and Reb Asi have Ailu Bechad V'chad luchadei, v'lo mitzki, both of them, Reb Ami and Reb Asi, went in separately into this bathroom, and they weren't harmed. So not only that they didn't get harmed, but even as individuals, they didn't get harmed. So Amilu Rabban and lo mistafisu, so the Rabban said to them that you weren't afraid. I mean, everyone knows that people get harmed there all the time. So Amilu, they said to them, Anan kabol gamin, we have a tradition we have a mesayra and a minig that we accepted from our teachers regarding the proper conduct in the bathroom. And that way we won't get harmed from the demons. The Kabbalah, the Beis Akisei, that the tradition we had regarding the bathroom was tzniyus de vishtigusa, modesty and quiet. and then one won't get harmed in the bathroom. Kabbalah di Yisuri, that our tradition regarding suffering is shtikusa umivirachmi, is that silence and praying for mercy. And that is that the person should not kick. He should not rebel when afflictions, when Yisroom come on them. Rather, it's some type of an acceptance regarding what's happening and a way of silence and then praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a way of understanding the purpose of what Yisroom are. So Gemara brings a story related to this, the conduct and the fear of demons in the bathrooms. That Abaya, Miravya le'ime imra, that Abaya, his mother raised for him sheep, le'meil bahadela basically, that should go in with him into the bathroom. And that is, she had the sheep that she taught, so to speak, to be with him, to constantly be with him, that it should also enter with him into the bathroom. So the Gemara asked, Leravya le'gadya, so why didn't she raise for him a goat to come? Why necessarily a sheep? So the Gemara answers, Sar b'sar michlef, that a goat could be confused with something that's goat-like. And that is, the shade, the demon of the bathroom, is compared to a sar, to a goat. And on that, the pasuk in Yeshayahu Yud Gimel says, Se'ir mirakdashom, that the Se'irim, they dance over there, reference to these shade and to these demons. That's why she wouldn't want the sar, which is a goat, rather a sheep, to protect them from the shadim that hang out in the bathrooms. Another story related to this, the Rava Mekmed HaVeresha, Rava, before he became a leader of Klal Yisrael, Mekarkasha Le'basra Avchizda Amaguza Balakana, so that the daughter of Avchizda, who was his wife, she would rattle a walnut in some type of a vessel in the receptacle. That is, to make noise, so to speak, to ward off the shade and the demons. Bas Demach, after he got great and that he became a Rosh Hashiva in Klal Yisrael, so he needed a greater Shmira because of the different demons that were jealous, that the demons are jealous of Tamid HaChacham and more than regular people. So Avdi Le'Kavasa, she made for him a window from the house to where he was relieving himself outside the house. U'manchele Yad Arisha, she would put her hand on his head to be, so to speak, a greater Shmira, that not only did she make noise, but actually she was present there with her hand on his head. So Gemara continues on this about being tznius, but having modesty in the bathroom. Amar Ula says, Achayri HaGedev, someone goes behind the wall, Niftimiyad, he could defecate right away. And that is, he doesn't have to go too far because since he's behind the wall, it's enough of a modest thing that his people don't see him. Wabika, but if he's in the open area, then kozman shemes atish, ve'en chaveri shemeh, then as long as if he passes wind and his friend doesn't hear it, so then that's good enough. But you don't have to go so far that he doesn't see you. As long as if one were to pass gas and he wouldn't hear it, that's enough. Isi bar nasin masni hachi, he learned it the following way. Achari haged, if you go behind the wall, then it's kozman she mis'atish v'in chaver shemeh. He's more machmer. He says that even if you go right behind the wall, it's as long as if one passes wind, and that his friend won't hear it. It's not enough just to be behind the wall. His friend can't hear it. Obebek, and in the open area, then it's even more chamer, that kozman she'in chaver reyu. As long as his friend doesn't see him, it's not enough that he doesn't hear him, but as long as he can't even see him, when he's going to relieve himself. So the Gemara's Meisvei seems to be not like that, because we learned Yoitzim Mipesach Beis Abad, we learned regarding someone that's a Shemri Taharis, that he's watching over things which have to be kept into the purity of Taharis, regarding the oil of the Beis Abad, where they would press the oil. So the halacha was regarding if he has to go out and relieve himself, and he's the Shemri, he's protecting the olive oil that no one should be metamed and make it richly impure. So the halacha that it says that he could go out from the opening of the Beis Abad and he could relieve himself behind the wall, which is in front of the opening. And we're not concerned that in that amount of time, that an Amoris will go in and touch it. So therefore, that's what it says over there, the Yitzim Mipesach Beis Abad, that he goes out from the opening of the pressing house, and that he could go ahead and relieve himself behind the wall. V'hein Taren, and there the olives and the olive oil are pure. So therefore we see that halacha is not like what that Isi Bar Nosan had said, that rather you could just go right behind the wall and right away go ahead and relieve yourself, even if someone's going to hear you passing wind. So the Gemara says, B'taharas Ekilu, that in truth, although essentially what the halacha is, that you have to go behind the wall, it's not enough, it has to be that no one hears you, but because since he's watching the Taharas of things that have to be kept richly pure, so they were more lenient regarding the halachas of the bathroom, and that they did not mandate that the high level of tznias. And that's where he can go just behind the wall and relieve himself. But a regular person, it's not enough. It has to be that no one hears him. Tashma, the Gemara wants to bring a different raya. It says, Kami Yerachku B'Yutar, and how far can they be and that the things should be pure? And that is the Shemri Tahiris. How far can they go that if they have to leave for something and they could just still rely on the fact that what was left inside is still pure. So that says that kidishiyu, that if they could still see that it's that since they didn't go too far, so obviously we're talking about that if he needs to relieve himself, that as long as he can see, then it's good enough. Because if it's the question is, that seems to be a contradiction to Isi, that requires that if one's going to relieve himself, that it has to be that no one could even see him. And here we're seeing that this person could go out and relieve himself, and what's going to be with the Tahara? So as long as he could still see, so that means they could see him too. So then that's not like Isi, who said that you have to be far enough that no one could see you relieving yourself out in the open. So the Gemara again answers, similar to what I answered before, that Shani Oichli Tahara is Taikilu B'Rabban, that it's different when it comes to regarding those who eat in Tahiris, that Rabbanu were Mekel, that is because they're watching, they were lenient regarding the halachas that they have for basic kisa, but a regular person, it's not enough to go far away and that he can, it's still visible. He has to be far enough that if he's in an open area, that no one could see him at all. Another test the Gemara gives is Rav Ashi Yama, my kozman shin chaveri roya de kamer Isa ben Nosson. What is this that Isa ben Nosson, how do we really understand this, that he said that as long as his friend doesn't see him, that's good enough if you're in an open area, but if they see you, it's a problem. So that you have to understand, that's in the context of kozman shin chaveri roya es peruoy. That as long, he meant to say that as long as the person, his friend, will not see his exposed flesh. But him, of course, he could see, and therefore it wasn't a problem that it was mentioned over there, that as long as he could still see the pressing house, that is, we're not concerned that someone's coming in there because he could see. So that means people could see him. That's not a problem that they could see him. As long as they don't see the part of his body that's usually covered, that part that's not revealed to the other people, so that's okay, and that's what he was able to see, because the upper part of his body was revealed, but the bottom part wasn't. So that's good, even according to Isi Bar Nosson. The Gemara brings a story related to, again, to the tzniyas, the modesty necessary when one conducts himself in the bathroom. Ahusaf dana denachas kameder of Nachman. There was this person that was a maspid, that was a eulogizer, that came in front of Rav Nachman. So Amar, he said about a certain individual, Hait snuah barchais of Hava, this person was very modest in his ways. Amar le Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said to this person that was giving the eulogy, At ailet b'hadei lebezakise, did you follow him into the bathroom? V'yadat itzenua ilay, and to know that if he was someone that was a tenua, that was modest or not. The Tanya has learned the Braisa. In current tenua, elamisha tenua basakise. You don't call someone that he's a modest person, only if he's modest in the bathroom. So the Gemara asked Rav Nachman, my nafkele mine, what did it make such a difference to him regarding that this person was giving such a hesped that he had to say, how do you know? So he's giving a hesped, so he said something that wasn't really exactly as it was said. So the Gemara answers Mishum the Tanya because he learned the Braisa. Just like that they punish, so to speak, from the person that passed away, that they're saying these lies about him, and they, so to speak, give him a punishment because of that. So do they punish from those people that are eulogizing if it's not true. From those that respond after, there's people that are relating to that. So that's why Rav Nachman felt that it was his responsibility to tell him, you can't say that unless you know for a fact that it's true. Not only are you punishing the person that died, you're punishing yourself and all the people that respond to that and say, wow, you're right, it's true, he really was a tzenua. Now the Gemara continues on the halachas of a beis hakise, regarding the halachas in the bathroom. Tanya Rabban, ezehu tzenua, who is considered someone that's modest? Zeha nifne balayla b'makom shenifne b'yom. That's a person that he relieves himself at night in the same place that he relieves himself during the day. And that is, he goes far away from people at night, just like he would have to go during the day. So the Gemara asks, "Ini, is that so?" V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, "La'olam yanig adam es atzme shachris va'arves." A person should always accustom himself that when it comes to relieving himself, that he should always do it in the morning before it becomes day, and at night after it gets dark. Kadesh lehid sarach lesrachid, that he shouldn't have to go too far. That is, don't go during the day, because otherwise you're going to have to waste a lot of time. Rather, go in the early morning or the late at night, because then obviously what it's saying is that then at night you don't have to go too far. So how can we say that you should conduct yourself at night as it is during the day if Rav was explicitly saying that you should, so to speak, leave yourself at one time at those times, because then you won't have to go so far? Pursuing another point is that Rav be mama hava azlad mil, that Rav at the day he would go as far as a mil, up to, let's say, 2 miles to go relieve himself. Ubalelia, but at night omali l'shami, he would tell his attendant, pnuli duchta beruchayv demasa, make for me a little place over here in the city streets, and that is, make sure there's no people there, and then he would relieve himself. So obviously you don't have to go as far as he do. He didn't walk no mil at nighttime. And similarly, v'chinomalei Reb Zeir l'shamei. So Reb Zeir said to his attendant, chaziman de'ika achorei beis chavra, go see if anyone's behind the beis medrash, to be in lamifne, because I have to relieve myself. So obviously at night you don't go as far and you don't do exactly as you do during the day. So the Gemara says, lo yitema b'mokim. Don't say that in the same place that where you go during the day you should go at night. Rather, in the same way that one conducts himself when he relieves himself during the day, that means regarding how much he reveals of his body, that's regarding a tefach and tvachayim, and that he does it sitting down. So too at night, although no one can see because it's dark, still one should conduct himself with that same personal conduct, not regarding where he has to go. He doesn't have to go too far, but how much he reveals and how he does it in the actual form that he's relieving himself. Rav Ashi says, no, you could keep the girsa that in the same place where he does in the day, that's the same place he does at night. Because there's a specific case which would be the same. Is what we needed for regarding if one relieves himself in a corner. And that is that at night he has to, so to speak, remove himself to the corner as he would during the day. And that is, don't go out in the open, although that it's, so to speak, there's no people around because it's night and it's dark and no one sees, and you're only revealing from your body how much you have to when you're sitting. Still, if there's a corner to go to, you should go to the corner, just like you would go during the day. And that is, don't go out in the open. You should do as much as you can to, so to speak, be as tenu as possible. So the Gemara continues, Gufo, that we had mentioned before, Amar Yehuda Merav, a person should always accustom himself to relieve himself in the early morning before it gets day, and then that late at night when it's already dark. That a person should not have to go too far to relieve himself. Similarly in the Brisa, but Nasi Omer Hashkim Vitzay and Har Vitzay, get up early and go out, and go late at night and go out. That you won't have to go too far. So other halachas relating to the person's relieving himself in the bathroom. Mishamesh v'shev v'al teshev utemashmesh. That a person should first manipulate and then sit down, and not sit down and then manipulate. And that is, a person sometimes has to manipulate the orifice, the so to speak, to be able to. It takes a rock or a twig to be able to open up the cavities, because he, so to speak, he can't relieve himself, so he has to use like a suppository, something to open it up. So first manipulate and then sit down. Don't sit down and then manipulate. And that is why. Because whoever sits down and then starts manipulating, because even if they're doing witchcraft in Spain, all those, so to speak, evil dark side come to that person. But let's say he forgot and he sat down. And then he starts manipulating. What should he do to rectify that situation? So when he gets up, he should say the following phraseology. Loili, loili, not to me, not to me. Loisachim, loisachim, not sachim, sachim, which these are different names of witchcraft, which are made through excrement. Loihoni, loimahoni, not these or not any of these. In other words, not all of them or even part of them. Loicharshu, decharshu, loicharshu, decharashta, not the spells of a sorcerer, and not the spells of a sorceress, not of a male witchcraft or of female witchcraft. Now we continue on to Amud Beis. The Gemara continues with other advice regarding how a person should conduct himself. Tanya learned the Brisa, Ben Azay Omer, Ben Azay said, that was the same Tanya that we had mentioned before, I'll call Mishkav Shachav, on every bed you could lay down, Chutz Ben HaKarka, besides the ground, besides the floor, which is going to be bad for a person, obviously. I'll call Meshiv, on every chair shove you could sit down, Chutz Ben HaKarka, besides a beam, and that is because you might fall off the beam. Omar Shmuel said, Shina Bamud HaShachar, sleeping at the break of dawn is like steel for iron. And that is, just like it helps for the iron, that steel helps for it, so too the morning sleep is good for the body. Yitzia b'amud ha-shachar, going out to relieve oneself at the break of dawn, is ka'istim al-parzel, is also like steel to iron. It's very healthy for the body to go ahead and have a good bowel movement in the morning. The Gemara says, Bar Kapara have a mizvin mili bidinari. Bar Kapara, he would sell words for money. In other words, he would have these different phrases, these aphorisms that he would sell, and people would buy it. And some of the sayings he said were as follows. Ad dechafnes achel. Until you're hungry, you should eat. In other words, if you wait too long, so then it'll already bypass your hunger for food, and then the food's not going to help anymore. In other words, before you're like starving, eat before you're starving, because or else it won't have the same benefit of the food that you're eating. And similarly, until that you're so thirsty, drink. Don't wait until you're really passing out to drink. Until your pot is boiling, you should pour it off. And that is before it cools down. And it's an analogy, it was a mashal that, in other words, if you need to relieve yourself, if you need to use your nekavim, you should pour it out, and then therefore don't wait, don't retain that waste inside your body. You should pour it off before it cools down. In other words, when you have that desire to relieve oneself, do it then and don't wait. Karna karya baraymi. If the horn sounds in Rome, and that is if you hear the sounds of the horns in Rome, which is it was a sign for those that were seeking the figs to purchase and to go into another place. So therefore, if you hear the horns, bar mazvin ta'ani, so the son of the seller of figs, ta'ani da'avach zavin, and you should sell the figs of your father. In other words, even if your father's not around, go sell it, because even if your father's not there, you should quickly sell it when there's still people that are looking to buy it, because once that passes, it's over. He's not going to be able to get rid of them and not going to be able to sell them anymore. Amlu Abai l'Rabban. Abai said to the Rabbanan, ki ailisu b'shvili d'mechayza. When you're going through the alleyways of Mechayza, l'mefik b'bechakla, so to be able to defecate in the fields, because you're passing by, you have to go to a far place where no one's around to relieve yourself, l'techzi lo l'hach gisa v'lo l'hach gisa. You shouldn't look not to this side, not to that side. Dil miyasvi nashe, because maybe there are women sitting there, and they're relieving themselves, because they're not going to go as far as you are. And it's not proper to look at women when they're going to relieve themselves. So the Gemara brings another story related to the conduct in the bathroom. Rav Safra, all the basic is Rav Safra went into the lavatory. Rav Abba came on the outside and he coughed by the door, so to speak, to see if there's anyone in there, if anyone's going to respond to him. So Amalei Leil Marasar, Rav Safra said, well, you could come in. In other words, you could come and use the bathroom. That's what Rav Abba told Rav Safra. So Basa Dinafik, after he went out of the bathroom, Amalei said to him, I don't understand. Ad hashtulo yalis lesar. Until now you haven't gone to Sahar, which the people in Sahar, they're not tenua, they're not modest in the bathroom. The kamrat loch mil destroy, and you have learned all the context of Sahar. In other words, you're not tenua, you're not modest. You're not supposed to talk in the bathroom. As he said, Lav Hochitnan, didn't we learn in the following Mishnah in Mesechtes Tamid that says Midura Hoysisham, that there was a bonfire over there in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a big fire of that would, the Kohanim would warm themselves up over there, and that was for those that had, so to speak, urinated in the Beis HaKiseh, which, and then they had to do a tefillah after they urinated. As it says in Masechtas Yuma, that whoever is Mesach Raglav, which is a term for urination, he has to do a tefillah. So then they would be, so to speak, wet from the tefillah, so they would go and warm themselves up in the bonfire. So it says that in that area, Beis HaKiseh shall cover it. And there was a Beis HaKiseh, it was a bathroom of honor. What was its honor? That Matzi Nol, if he found the bathroom locked, but you do a Shei Shemad, you knew definitely it was a person there. Matzi Pesuch, if he found it open, but you do a Shei Shemad, then that means that you knew that no one was there and you were able to go in. So we see obviously that it's not proper for a person to be speaking in the bathroom, and that's why they had this operation, which is that you knew if it's occupied or vacant, that a person doesn't have to talk, and you go ahead and you say, come on in, you're not supposed to talk in the bathroom. However, the Gemara says to explain the reason why Rav Safra responded to Rav Abba like that is that Behu Savim Mesukanu, he thought that he was in danger. And that is Rav Safra that was quick to tell him that he could come in, thought that he was in a situation of danger. As the Gemara says, the Tanya is alert in the Braisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that Amud HaChayzer, that if a person has a situation where he forced back a discharge of excrement, that means he had to go relieve himself, Gedolim, and he forces it back in, maybe it's Adam Lehadrik, and it brings a person to dropsy. And that is that his stomach like gets bloated. Silan hachayzi, if he had a situation, he had to force back the stream of urine. Maybe it's adam deyarkin, it brings the person to jaundice. And that's why he says to come in, because he thought it was a situation of danger. Of course he wouldn't just talk in the bathroom. But the reason why he said to come in is because he didn't want something dangerous to happen to Rav Abba. Nothing more brings another story related to a bathroom. Rav Elazar went into the bathroom. Asahu parsa, and some have the girsa of a Roman. A Roman came and pushed him out that he wanted to use the bathroom. So come here, Blazer. Another Blazer got up and he left. Asadar Kaina, a snake came, Shamte le Karkoshe, and went and ripped out the rectum of that Roman. And that is that this is the place where the excrement comes out from. He ripped it out. So Kari le Blazer. Blazer called on this situation and that person the following pasuk. It says, Ve'etin Odim Tachtech, I will put a person in your place. So he said, "Al tikri Adam el Edom. Don't call it Adam, rather Edom, which Rome were descendants of Edom, that I put this person in your place to get punished, to rip out his rectum, that is, so to speak, although he thought he was getting punished, that he couldn't use the bathroom, it was putting in someone else in the place of getting harmed." So the Gemara continues now with as we were mentioning about sneeze, about proper conduct in the bathroom, that the benefits and the schools that come out of proper sneeze in the bathroom. So the Gemara brings a pasuk, which is that David HaMelech said to Shaul when he left out from the Ma'ar, from the cave, which he had gone in there to relieve himself, and David HaMelech had ripped off the corner of his garment to show him that I was there, I could have killed you. And he said to him that I would have killed you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted me to kill you. And he said the following phrase, V'amal ha'argach, and I said that I'm going to kill you. V'tochas Allah, but it protected over you. So the question in the Gemara is, V'amar, and that he said to kill you? V'amar timi boile. It should have said that I said I was going to kill you. And moreover, V'tochas, and that it protected over you. V'chas timi boile. It should have said that I protected you. In other words, that I had mercy on you and that I didn't kill you. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says as follows. Amar b'laza, Amalei David l'shal. David said the following statement to Shal. Min ha-tore bin ha-rigata. That min ha-tore, that you're someone that could be killed. And that's what it says. V'amar, and that he said la-har-gacha, that you should be killed. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you should be killed. That in other words, the Torah, which is Hashem's message, says that I could kill you. And that is, why could I kill you? Shahari Raidavadir, because you were pursuing me. You wanted to kill me. V'atayru Amin ha-tore says, bo la-har-gacha hashkum la-har-gay. If someone comes to kill you, you can get up and kill him first. But rather it is the modesty that was in you. And that's why he merited to have a descendant of Esther. That since you had this great modesty, that he had gone into the cave because of modesty to relieve himself. And even there he conducted himself in great sneis, as the Gemara is going to explain soon. So he chas alecha, that is what protected over you. That's why it says, v'tochas alecha, it protected you, not that I protected her, not that I had mercy on you, rather the modesty that you had protected over you. Umahi, and what is this modesty that Shaul showed when he went to relieve himself? The Sibla says in the pasuk, "Yovel Gidrus Atzoin," that he came to the pens of the sheep, Al Haderech on the road, Veshamar, and there was a cave. It says, "Vayovel Shaul LaHasach Hasraglav," that Shaul came to urinate, which is the, so to speak, the term, the euphemism they give to cover his legs. So Tana that we learned, Geder Lefnim in the Geder, it was a gate within a gate. Umar Lefnim Ar, it was a cave within a cave, and that's how far he went to, so to speak, protect. So to speak, when with its knees, when he was going to relieve himself, when it says that he went lohasach es raglav to cover his legs, Amar b'laza melamet shesichachat mekasuka, is that he covered himself like a sukkah. In other words, with his clothing, he like covered himself, so he was really tsnua when he went to the bathroom, and that was, so to speak, the schus, the merit that, so to speak, protected Shaul from David killing him. So the Gemara continues with the hemshach, the continuation of that story, that v'yakim David, that David got up. The yichras is knaf ameil, and they cut off the corner of the cloak of Shaul. Ashal Shaul balad, that was in Shaul, and this he did, so to speak, clandestine. He did it secretly, and that is, he wanted to show him, I could have killed you, but I didn't. So Amar b'Yezer b'Chanina. So from this we learned, kol mevazes begadim, whoever degrades clothing, and that is David HaMelech cut off and degraded, so to speak, the article of clothing of Shaul. Saif inin emhem, ultimately he won't end up having pleasure from it. Like it says in the pasuk, "Vamelech David," that the king David, "Zaken b'Biyom," he was an elderly person coming into age. "Vechusuhu b'Begadim," they covered him with clothing, but loyichem, that wasn't warming him. And that is, so to speak, a midah k'neged midah. Since he degraded the clothing, it didn't work for him anymore. And that works in life also. Anything that a person degrades, it doesn't work for him anymore. And that's why, since he cut the corner of the clothing, it didn't warm him in his later times. So the Gemara continues with the story, this whole saga of David and Shaul, that Shaul wanted to kill David. So the pasuk says, "Im Hashem has sischebi." David told Shaul, "If Hashem incited you against me, so then yarach mincha. So let him accept my offering." In other words, if Hashem, so to speak, is upset at me and he's inciting you against me, let him take my offering that I'm giving to him, so to speak, to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara brings that he was punished for saying this terminology, so to speak, like Hashem is a masis, that Hashem is inciting someone against David. Amr b'laza, amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu David. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David, "Masis currently, you're calling me an insider? I'm going to make you stumble in something." In halacha, even little children in cheder, that they know this halacha. Like it says in the pasuk, it says that when you're going to count the heads of the Bnei Yisrael for their numbers, V'nasnu ish kayfer nafshe begerma, that each man will give an atonement for his soul. And that is, he'll give money, because you're only allowed to count the machtes ha-shekel, and you can't count the actual people, because if you do, something bad could happen. So miyad, right away, after that, Hashem said this to David, v'yamed satan al yisrael, that the satan got up on against Klal Yisrael. And it says, v'yasis says David behem lema, that the satan, so to speak, was mesis, which is the same terminology. He incited David regarding them, saying, "Leichman, this is all go count Klaisel." V'kivin diminu l'shalkum nai kayv. And once he counted them, he didn't take from them this atonement. The chesed says in the pasuk, "Vayitin Hashem dever beYisrael," that Hashem made a plague come onto Klaisel mahabuker by the ismayit, from the morning until the designated time. And that is because since he called Hashem, so to speak, a mesis, so to speak, the same midah of hasas of incitement came through the satan to David, he incited him, and that caused him to be over on this, so to speak, elementary halacha, that he counted Klal Yisrael without doing it through money, and that caused this major plague to come into Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara asked, "My Esmaid, what does it mean that it was from the morning till the designated time?" So Amashmul Saba Chasne Reb Chanina, Meshmei Reb Chanina, it means Meshas Shchit Satamid, from the time of the slaughtering of the carbon tamid, Atshas Rikasa, until the time of when the blood is thrown. That's the designated time. Reb Yechanan Amar Ad Chatzay Smash, it means until noontime, which is the amount of time that it could be brought up until. And so that is a machlokes. What does it mean that Esmaid? So whichever way it was a very short amount of time that the plague was for. The Gemara continues and says, other achmanis, other merciful tactics, that although Hashem was punishing David, but it wasn't for such a long time, similarly something else, that only very few people passed away in the plague. As the pasuk says, V'yemel ha-malach ha-mashchis ba'am rav, that he said to the angel that was destroying many of the people, so Amar b'laza, Amar le'akadosh baruch hu le'malach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the malach, toli rav shebehem, take from me, in other words, in the plague, kill the great ones among them. That through this one great person, we could, so to speak, collect many of the debts they owe us. In other words, that with that tzaddik dying, it's enough to be mechaper on many sins. So therefore it says, that moment, that Avisha ben Tzeruya passed away in the Magefa, in the plague, that he was equal to like the majority of the Sanhedrin, and that is also Rachmanis, that tzaddikim are kapar for klaisa, that really, although many, many should die, when the tzaddik passed away, it's equal to many of the Jews passing away. So it says over there in the Pesukim that Ubahashchis, that when Hashem was causing destruction, Ra Hashem saw Vayinochem, and he reconsidered. So it says, my Ra, what did he see? What caused him to reconsider? Oh, so in other words, to stop the plague that was coming at the Klai. So one Pshat the Gemara brings is, Omer Rav Ra Yaakov Avinu. He saw Yaakov Avinu, and that made him reconsider and to stop the plague. The Chesubah says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Yaakov, that Yaakov saw that when the Malachim came to protect him, Kasher Ra'am, that when he saw them, so we see that the terminology of seeing is a reference by Yaakov regarding his shmir of Malachim. That's what it means, that Hashem saw, it was the same element of protecting the Bnei Yaakov Klai Yisrael. Shmuel HaMashmuel says the second shot, he saw the ashes of Yitzchak, so to speak, which were piled up, that so to speak, Yitzchak was preparing to sacrifice himself as a carbon. Shneim, it says in the Pasuk, Elikim Yirlo Yaseh, that Avram said to his son Yitzchak, that Hashem will see for himself a sheep. And that is, it says the terminology Yira, and that's what it means, that he saw the ashes of Yitzchak. A third pshat the Gemara brings is Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchamar Kesef Kipurimra. He saw the money of atonement. In other words, that's the shkalim which was brought in the times of when they did a proper counting, in the times of the Midbash. And then, like it says, V'lekachta es Kesef Kipurim Mi'es B'nei Yisrael, that you should take the money of atonement from the B'nei Yisrael. And that it says over there, "V'ha'yil b'nei Yisrael is the karn l'fnei Hashem," that it should be a remembrance in front of Hashem, l'chaper al nafshesichem, as an atonement for your souls. And that's what this was, the kapar, Kesef Kippurim, that was an atonement for later generations, even the times of David. Rabbi Yechonah Amar, Rabbi Yechonah says a fourth pshat, Beis Hamikdash Ra, he saw the Beis Hamikdash, like it says in the pasuk regarding the Beis Hamikdash, Bahar Hashem Yira, that on the mountain Hashem, he will show himself. That's a reference to the Har Maria, and that's what it means, that he saw, it was Losh Nira, a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that this is a machloikis that others have argued on. Pligi bar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, the Tchara HaMekesef HaKippurim, one says that it was the money of atonement, the Machtz HaShekel that was given in the Midbar, that he saw that money given, and that's, he had Rachmanis on David. B'chara HaMekesef HaMikdash, one says that it was the Beis HaMikdash that he saw, And the Gemara concludes, and it makes more sense, like the one who says that Hashem saw the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why he had Rachmanis. Like it says in the Pasuk, that which he said today, which alludes to every single day, that's what Avram told to that when he was on Har Moriah, Bahar Hashem Yirah, then on the mountain of Hashem, that he will see, that we see that it's even Hayoim, even today, for generations, that even the times of David, that the Beis HaMikdash, Har Moriah, will be Kapara for eternity. And that's why it probably means that when it says Hashem saw, it means that he saw the Beis HaMikdash that says Bahar Hashem Yirah. Now the Gemara continues on the quoting from the Mishnah, that Lo Yikonis Odom L'Harabayis B'Makli, a person should not enter the Harabayis, which was where the Beis HaMikdash was built on, with his stick and many other things that are not proper to walk into the Beis HaMikdash or conduct oneself like that. So one of the things it says that he shouldn't come in b'kapendraya. He shouldn't use the Beis HaMikdash, the Harabayis, as a kapendraya. So Amar Rava, so the Gemara asks, so what is my kapendraya? What is a kapendraya? So Amar Rava, kapendraya kishma, it means literally as its name means, which means that it's a shortcut. A person should not make the Har Moriah as a shortcut. He has to get to another location. He shouldn't use it as a way to get through. This is like what people say, that instead of my going around the rows, let me go inside over here. In other words, you know, the amount of time it's going to take me to go around all these rows, I could just make a shortcut through here. So that's what it means, kapendraya, that rather, instead of going around, it means, like it says, kapadraya is from the word ademekifna adari. That's kapadraya. Instead of me going around through the around the rows, I'm going to go straight through here. So now the Gemara says a few different terim when it is permissible for a person to use the harabayis as a shortcut to be able to go in one way and go out the other way. One heter, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvua, hanichnas lebeis haknesses, if someone goes into a shul with not the intent initially to make it into a shortcut, then ultimately he could make it into a shortcut as long as that was not his intent. A second head to the Gemara brings is Rabbi Vo Amar, if it was originally a path that passed through this place and then they built a shul on that path, then it's mutter, then it's permitted still to continue using that path, although it cuts through a shul. A third head to the Gemara brings is Amr Abchelbam Rabhuna Hanichnas Lebesa Knesses Lispal. If someone enters the shul to daven, then he can make it into a shortcut. In other words, he can continue out through a different way. Shanem, like it says in the Pasuk, Uvavoyama Oritz Lefne Hashem B'Meyadim, that when the populace of the people would come in front of Hashem on the Yom Tov, that it says they would Habod, the Pasuk over there says, Habod derech shar tzof and lishtachvas, that those who came by the northern gate to bow down, yitzi derech shar negev, they would go out through the southern gate. Habod derech shar negev, those who would come through the southern gate, yitzi derech shar tzof, and they would go through the northern gate. Le yoshev derech shar shabobe, that you should not go out the way that you came. Ki nicha yitzi, rather you should go out through the other way. And that's the idea that we say, that if a person is coming in to serve Hashem, to daven, so then he's allowed to continue going through and go out through the other way, even though that's, so to speak, a shortcut for him because he's heading to that direction. So now the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah that says, V'rikika mekavochema, that spitting is a kavochema that definitely lets us to do that on the Harabayis, and it's not proper. So the Gemara discusses this concept about spitting in the shul and then on the Harabayis. Amar Rabbi, Amar Bishua ben Levi, kolarikik b'harabayis bezman hazeh, whoever spits on the Harabayis, even in today's time, it's like he's spitting in the pupil of Hashem's eye, so to speak. Like it says in the Pasuk, Hashem says that my eyes and my heart are there all the days. That in other words, Hashem is still, so to speak, looking over there. And if you spit, it's like he's spitting in Hashem's eye. Amar Rav, Rav says, Rikika b'beisa knesses sharia. Spitting in the shul is permitted. Midid hava minil, just like we find by shoes. That ma minil b'har bayis aser. Just like we find that shoes on Harabayis, it was usur, you couldn't walk on Harabayis with your shoes. But in the Beis HaKnesses, in the shul, it's mutter to wear shoes. After kika b'Harabayis, who does that? Although spitting is forbidden on Harabayis, but the Beis HaKnesses, sorry, but in the shul, it'll be permitted, just like we find with shoes. So Amalei Rapapa l'Rava, so Rapapa told the Rava, v'Amrila, and some say Ravina l'Rava, Ravina said l'Rava, v'Amrila l'Rava, Adba Masl l'Rava, some say it was Rava, Adba Masl told Rava, Adiyolav Miminal, from this that you say you're learning out from shoes, Nelev Mekabadraya, why don't you learn from Kabadraya? Where there it's Aser. As you learn in the Mishnah Masechta Megillah, that we can't make a shul into a Kabadraya, you can't make it into a shortcut. So why are you comparing spitting to shoes, which is permitted, compared to a shortcut, which is forbidden? So Amalei, Tana Yolav Meminil Vat Amr Mekabadraya. So he responded, he says, the Tana learns it out from shoes, that the Isser or the Heter from spitting is learned from shoes. And therefore, I'm comparing it to shoes, and you want to compare it to making a shortcut? So Gemara says, Mahi, what's this Tana that compares it to shoes? The Tana is learned in the Braisa. Lekonis Odom Lahar Bais, a person should not enter the Har Bais, Loi B'makle Shabiyodi, not with the stick that's in his hand, Veloi B'menole Shabiragli, not with the shoes on his feet, Veloi B'mois Atzrum Loi B'sadini, not with the money that's bundled up in his kerchief, Ubi Pendasim of Shos Acharev, not with his money belt that's, so to speak, thrown over his back, Veloyas in the Kabadra, you shouldn't make it into a shortcut. And these are the words that we don't have in our Mishnah. And that spitting is a Kavachimer from shoes. And that is Umam Minol Shem by Derek Bezoin. And if shoes, which is not a disgrace, everyone wears shoes, still Amr Torah Shalna Lechamar Kalecha, still the Torah tells you, which was the pasuk which was said by Moshe Ben when he saw the snare, the burning bush, that take off your shoes from your feet, that you can't walk its holy ground. So spitting, which is disgraceful, like Koshkin, isn't obvious that you can't do that in a holy place like the Har Habayis. So therefore you see that we compare it to shoes, and therefore you want to learn it out from shoes, that just like shoes are mutter in the shul, so the spitting is mutter in the shul, just like we see learn out the Isra of spitting from shoes on the Har Habayis. Rabbi Yisbehuda says you don't need this kavachemer from shoes to say that spitting is awesome on the harabais. Because Rabbi the pasuk says, ki in lovei al shahar melch bevush sak. It says that by Esther, that she sent to Mordechai that he was wearing a sackcloth, and that was, he was wearing a sackcloth because of the gezeirah that was said. So he says, because you can't come to the gates of the king wearing a sackcloth. So it's kavachemer. Umasak shein the mois, if a sackcloth, which is not disgusting, and it's lefnei bas of Adam, and still it was a front of flesh and blood, that it was not proper to come in front of the gate of the king like that, that kach, it was forbidden. So rekikas are spitting, shehim usa, which is disgusting. And if this is being done lefnei melech macham loch in front of the kings of all kings, like koshkin, is it obvious that it would be forbidden to do that on the base of in by the harabai? So you don't have to learn that from shoes, you could just know from logic that it would be forbidden to do that on the harabai. So therefore, that was what Rav's taina was, that he was like the Tanakama that learned up that Rikika, the limit of Rikika, that being forbidden was learned from shoes. So therefore, in the Beis HaKnesses, which shoes are permitted, so spitting is also permitted. So Malay, so he said to him, whichever one of the three versions we had of which Amr was the one that was asking on Rava, says, this is what I was asking you. Let's say that the concept of Rikika spitting over here in the Beis HaMikdash was Lechurma, because there you want to learn it out from shoes, whichever way it is, but there it's Lechurma. V'hach Lechurma, and here in the Beis HaKnesses it's also Lechurma. In other words, correct that we learn it out from shoes regarding the Beis HaMikdash, but shoes are mutter in the shul, but maybe because of Beis HaKnesses we learn it out one way Lechurma, and then when it comes to Beis HaKnesses we also say that it's Lechurma. And as the Gemara continues under the top of Samach Gimel Min Aleph, the Amen Yishay as follows. Harabai is to us the Minol, so correct that the harabais, which is forbidden in shoes, so lil for miminal, we should learn it from shoes of a basic nes, but a shul, the shar b'minil, that is permitted in shul and with shoes, and that's what you want to learn it out from. But adiyolif miminal l'leheta, instead of learning out from shoes, that it's permissible in the shul, neilif mekabadrayim, well, that's, you should learn it out from the shortcut and say that it's awesome. That's what I meant to ask you. And that is, that you should say that harabais that's forbidden in shoes, you could learn out rikika from it to say that it's forbidden for shor v'kavachaymer. But in the basic nesses where shoes are permitted, who said we should learn out spitting from the shoes that it's permitted? Because spitting is disgusting, and it's being done in front of the melech machem lochem. Rather, we should learn it from a shortcut, that a shortcut is forbidden in shul, so too is spitting. So the Gemara says that Rava conceded. Elama Rava, rather, the limit is ki besai, just like one's house. That ma besai apakandraya kabadish, and it's just like when one's house, he's makbid, he dislikes if a person makes his house into a shortcut. So that's why in the basic nest of the shul, it's also forbidden to make it into a shortcut. It's not worse than a person's own house. However, kiku minu le kabadinish, and however, in one's own house, one doesn't care, especially in those times where they had the floors were made out of dirt, that spitting and shoes a person doesn't care about. A Beis HaKnesses can be dry who the usher, so too a Beis HaKnesses is not worse than a person's own house, and that making it their shortcut is forbidden. However, kikur min l'shoy, however, spitting and wearing shoes is permitted, and that is, again, just like a person's house, he's not makbid, so too in Hashem's house, so to speak, one is permitted to do the same things of spitting and wearing shoes, and that's what Rava was learning up his limud from.